information presented on this program is not intended to take the place of your personal physician's advice, and it is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Discuss this information with your own physician or healthcare provider to determine what is right for you.
You're listening to WGAU's Health and Wellness Roundtable. Here's your host, Mark Koyman.
Well, good Saturday afternoon, Greater Athens in Northeast Georgia. This is Mark Koyman. I serve as the host each week at the WGAU Health and Wellness Roundtable. And I have two marvelous physicians with me today with the Georgia Neurological Surgery Center and Comprehensive Spine. And they are going to be participating and talking about technology. We talk about high touch, high tech, where we are at with technology advancements, certainly post-COVID, post-pandemic, the way that technology has been interwoven into the process of healthcare is unbelievable. And with that, I'm going to turn it over quickly to the doctors to at least introduce themselves. Dr. Vasudeva, you want to begin with your introductions? Tell them a little bit about your background and where you did your studies.
So my name is Viren Vasudeva. I'm the newest neurosurgeon to join GNS in Athens. And I'm from the Metro Atlanta area. I did all of my training and fellowships in neurosurgery at Harvard. And I am a spine-focused neurosurgeon with a specialty in minimally invasive spine surgery and complex spinal reconstructions for things like tumors and adult degenerative deformity.
That's dynamite. We are so tickled to have you right here headquartered in Athens and serving this Northeast Georgia area. And then next, I have Dr. Woodall. And you were just on the show last week, so listeners got a chance to listen to you there. But for new listeners, introduce yourself to them again.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, my name is Neil Woodall. I'm from Georgia originally, grew up here, did most of my training in the state of Georgia, graduated from UGA undergrad, and did my residency in Augusta at MCG. Spent a year in Phoenix doing a fellowship in cerebrovascular and skull-based surgery, which are my areas of expertise. Much like Dr. Vasudeva, I enjoy spine as well, but happy to be here with you today.
Super. Well, there's the advancement of technology is unbelievable, but there are some five areas of impact that I want to talk about in today's show. There's impact on personalized treatment. The fact that there's these procedures that are general procedures that everybody basically has to conform to, that has changed so radically. Everything is now very personalized. The surgical technology, we've done shows here in terms of the robotics and certainly the way that the Georgia Neurological Surgery and Comprehensive Spine Group here in at Greater Athens pioneered robotics in Northeast Georgia. We've got artificial intelligence and this augmented reality that I think is fascinating in and of itself. Telehealth just exploded with the pandemic and the way that that was there to serve as an avenue for many of us. And then the whole aspect of electronic health records that travel with us. So I'd like to kind of begin and let's open up with this whole aspect of personalized treatment, the way that personalized treatment works, in which it is one in which things are customized on that personal level. How's technology working in that area? Jump in.
Well, I think particularly when you talk about degenerative spine disease, the personalizing the plan of care is important because that's the procedure that you're doing in general for quality of life. And in order to do that, you really need to understand what a person's goals are, what kind of activities they want to be engaging in but aren't, potentially due to pain or weakness, and then assessing their risk tolerance in terms of how aggressive of a surgery needs to be performed in order to get them to where they want to be. So I think, in terms of when you're treating somebody for, degenerative disease or spine-related pain, I think that the treatment plan has to be tailored to what their goals and expectations are. And your question about how does technology, play into that? Well, once you've identified what your goals of treatment are, then technology is more of a tool that the surgeons can then use to try and approach that pathology and say, the least invasive way possible.
Right.
minimizing any sort of collateral damage, minimizing blood loss, minimizing damage to, you know, musculoskeletal structures that you don't really need to manipulate. And all that stuff's going to result in shorter surgical time, shorter hospital stays, less blood loss, and quicker return to whatever it is, other work or activity or you know, whatever the patient's hoping to achieve.
Yeah, I have to believe that degree of the way the technology works to personalize and to customize it based on what the individual patient and you as a physician's work on together. Do you want to add something to that?
Sure. I think a great example of that, I've seen Dr. Vasudev in his practice use really impressive software that's been developed by some of our industry partners that allows him to, program in analytics about an individual patient's spinal measurements and really develop a plan that's unique to that patient, and even go so far as to have an implant that is designed for that individual patient so that it's really tailored to that individual, which is pretty amazing.
And I have heard and certainly seen some studies that within the scope of how that can be personalized by individual patient certainly improves outcomes, the level of outcomes in terms of what the results are and how long they're able to sustain and be mobile, et cetera, et cetera.
I think that's right. The better a job we can do of making the proper diagnosis and developing a patient-specific plan of care, the better we can execute it.
Well, the second area that we've got, and it's a very, very broad area, but certainly I think you all are very actively involved in it, the surgical technology, not just with robotics, but just general. You want to share with listeners some perspectives on that?
Navigation, I think, is probably one of the biggest things, and that goes hand in hand with robotics, but our ability to navigate screws, to navigate in the cranial space when we're doing cranial procedures, for tumors and aneurysms, and the ability to integrate our microscopes and things like that with navigation. So, if the listener might imagine looking through a microscope into a field and then being at the same time in real time on a heads-up display to see what anatomical structure you're looking at on an MRI scan and have all that confluence of data at your fingertips, there's just no way that doesn't make surgery more efficient and safer for the patient.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I hate to use this analogy, but for listeners' sake, we've got vehicles that we can buy, whether it's an SUV or a regular car, that can self-park with the parallel parking. And I think to myself, there is no way in heck that I can do that. I didn't pass that part of the driver's test on parallel parking. But the fact that the cars can do that, that is a very, very mainstream version of what you're talking about. But the precision level that enables you to do is incredible, incredible. Would you like to share some of the impact in terms of the personalized treatment and the impact that it has within some of the patients that you work with?
Well, first of all, to add to what you and Dr. Woodall were talking about with navigation systems, I think it's important to realize that the navigation systems don't take over the hands of the surgeon, but it's more of a tool that assists the surgeon to make sure that they're aware of their orientation during surgery and that they're approaching the correct anatomic pathology.
Yes, yes.
Robotics is sort of another iteration. It's kind of the next step beyond navigation. Navigation has started in neurosurgery, particularly cranial neurosurgery, in the early 90s. And then after that technology improved to a certain point, they were able to apply it to the spine, which has its own technical challenges. It's a little bit more difficult to do, but that technology is now pretty, pretty readily available and common in use for lumbar, for any kind of spinal fusions. But robotics is sort of the next generation. Robotics, its earliest iterations, have come out about 10 years ago, but and at that point, it was really just a static arm that could guide a trajectory for placement of hardware, in particular spinal pedicle screws. But more recently, with artificial intelligence, augmented reality applications forthcoming in this newest generation of robots, they're going to be able to do a lot more. I think that's going to be the most exciting thing that we see in spine surgery in the next probably 10 to 20 years.
Agree.
Is how those technologies are actually applied.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Dr. Vasudeva is featured in some of the television commercials that will be breaking soon in the next few weeks about some of the pioneering of robotics done right here at Georgia Neurological Surgery and Comprehensive Spine. And I also encourage listeners to go to the website team-georgia.com, team-georgia.com, and you can pull up a video and actually see the robotics. I think the largest takeaway, if you will, that I had in seeing the robotics in motion is the fact that, unlike what a lot of people in the general marketplace believe, you all are still in control. It's not like the robotic is doing the surgery all by itself. And I think that's key. I see heads shaking. I think that's key for listeners to know that, but in that framework, you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, the surgeon is the captain of the ship and totally in control and has to be prepared, because technology is, anyone who owns a personal computer,
yeah,
technology doesn't always do what it's supposed to do. So we have to be there.
Yeah. Well, listeners, we're going to take a news break, news and weather break here in a moment. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the other aspects of the way technology is working, certainly in terms of artificial intelligence, the way telehealth has come about, and then the way that electronic health records is here. And so with that, let's break, and we will be right back. Look forward to it.
You're listening to WGAU's Health and Wellness Roundtable. Here's your host, Mark Koyman.
Well, welcome, Athens, back to the WGAU Health and Wellness Roundtable. I am here with two marvelous doctors who are part of the Georgia Neurological Surgery and Comprehensive Spine Group, located right here in Athens, right off Atlanta Highway, by the way, and not far from Alps Road and across the trees from St. Mary's Hospital. So it's an easy place. It's centrally located. And if you're listening from counties around Athens, Clark County, the group has some offices and facilities that are in some of the areas like Lake Oconee and over in Monroe and up in, is it Lithonia?
Livonia.
God love all these wonderful little small towns. But the group is here and they're here to serve you. And we are talking about technology and how the technology is integrated in. And we're going to be concentrating this half of the show on three areas, one of which I think is a super area to talk about, is artificial intelligence and augmented reality. And I want to qualify this very quickly and say, we have so much information that's out there today, so much data that's gathered, that when we really talk about artificial intelligence, we're not talking about like a robot that just walks across a room or that type of level of intelligence, but the ability to take all that vast amount of information and be able to synthesize it and be able to take what are the key insights, the key learnings. You all want to talk about how this works from your perspective?
Well, with respect to augmented reality in particular, you know, that there are some real opportunities to illustrate pathological processes to patients using augmented reality. I think right now that's probably the best application, you know, is the ability to show 3D models and fly-throughs of whether it be a tumor or an aneurysm, or a scoliotic deformity, to be able to show them that kind of on a 3D monitor and have be able to conceptualize those 3D structures in a way that we couldn't before. So that's the best application for augmented reality I've seen so far, but I'm sure more will be forthcoming.
Yeah. Dr. Vasudeva, you want to contribute to that?
You know, in neurosurgery, artificial intelligence, augmented reality are sort of in their infancy, really. And, you know, like Dr. Woodall mentioned, augmented reality applications can be used currently really to demonstrate, to show patients what their pathology really looks like in a way that they can understand. This is something that, these are things that we typically look at, you know, every day or at least every week, but for patients, it's hopefully just a once in a lifetime kind of experience, you know? Artificial intelligence, you know, there's a huge amount of data that's being collected about patients, patient outcomes, imaging, artificial intelligence is being used to design computerized applications for spine surgery. They're going to help optimize placements of pedicle screws and to help, in particular, to help surgeons sort of to design, you know, long segment fusion constructs for somebody who needs a major surgery. Now, you know, obviously no one wants to have a huge operation, but if you're going to have one, you would want to have all the tools available to make sure that at the initial operation that we're able to do, you know, the best job that we can in order to, you know, maximize outcomes and minimize the chance of needing to come back later. One of the really interesting things that artificial intelligence is already doing, when you say do a fusion of one or several segments of someone's spinal column, you change the dynamics of the way the entire spinal column moves.
Right.
And
right.
So by, you know, by stabilizing, the artificial intelligence now can help us understand, predict how when you stabilize several segments of the spine, how does the remainder of the flexible spine respond
right.
to that? Because we've seen a lot of situations in the last 20 or, you know, 30 years where patients have had, say, long segment lumbar fusions where they felt better initially after surgery, but ended up settling into a fixed deformity.
And right.
It becomes really complicated unravel down the road. And so if you can use, artificial intelligence technology to minimize the risk of that happening, you know, for this next generation of neurosurgeons, then I think that's one of the better applications right now. But there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, hopefully going to emerge from this in the next, you know, several years.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. There's a lot of millennials that are out there listening to this that are doing home renovation and remodeling, you know, and you can move a wall or you can shift this window from here or there, and it might look good on the surface level, but then over time you realize that, well, that doesn't create the best stability. It doesn't wear through the winter storms or the summer winds or whatever. And I think the same thing, I have to imagine the complexity of that is what, much, much more complex in the human body. But particularly when you all are doing the work that you do with the spine, which is a major support component for the human body, the main channel of support. Not just the conveyance of nerves and communication through that, but that has a lot of impact on us in motion, and that type of artificial intelligence has to help. What about the whole aspect of telehealth? That was pioneered, certainly, not just pioneered, but was expanded in its use profusely within the pandemic and the way that you interacted with patients. Are there elements of that you continue to use today and that you find have been expanded and made more helpful?
Absolutely. You know, yeah, you said it, you know, really the changes with COVID are really what opened the doors to allowing physician practices to provide telehealth services to patients. And in many cases, patients really prefer it, you know, especially, you know, here at Georgia Neurological Surgery, we take care of, you know, 11 or more counties in Northeast Georgia. So for many of our patients, if they can't be seen in one of our satellite locations, you know, Monroe, Greensboro, or Livonia, it can be a source of convenience to do that via the internet or the telephone and still have that conversation. Of course, there are situations where we really need to see a patient in person and, you know, and test their strength and have
right.
that type of conversation. But in many cases, a lot of counseling can be done via telehealth and serves as a real source of convenience for people.
Has that helped you all as individual doctors in the way that you're able to manage your daily schedules and interact with patients in terms of doing it via teleconnections, digital connections versus in office?
You know, I think it's something that needed to be done in the environment that we're living in. And I think it's a good option to have. I mean, if given my way, I would prefer to see every patient in person.
Yeah.
But just because I think you have a different dynamic, but it certainly is a useful tool to have in the armamentarium if the patient can't make it into the office for whatever reason, or if, you know, there are COVID issues at hand.
Yeah. Dr. Vasudeva, do you see any of that in terms of changes and impact going future forward, the way telehealth, the way that digital health, for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's especially having just gone or. With the way that COVID-19 has affected medicine in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
I think it's something that is an important to make available to patients.
Do you all, as specialist physicians in many ways, do you interact with primary caregivers electronically more? Do you share records more electronically with the enhancement of technology than you've done in the past? Or do you see changes happening within that area?
I think definitely technology helps us to obtain those records more quickly. But those are things that we've always done, but it just helps us to potentially, understand the full picture or get patients in a little bit faster for their follow-up appointments. That kind of thing.
What are the changes that you see coming up in the whole area of electronic health records, the way that individuals can manage that on an individual patient level, the way that you all can manage those records? Do you see positive enhancements in terms of the use of technology in that area?
It seems to me that the goal of many of these projects that were put forth by the federal government were to increase communication between health systems and increase transparency between health systems. So I think we're seeing some of that, as the newer electronic medical record systems are being implemented at hospitals across the state and across the country. There's an enhanced ability to access records from other facilities, which in a perfect world, you'd be in any hospital across the United States and be able to pull up films and paperwork on from any other hospital across the United States. We're not there, but hopefully we can.
We're moving in that direction.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that would be a truly good thing if that could happen.
We've got about another minute of the show to go. I opened up talking about high tech, high touch. Do you see high touch elements also advancing in terms of just as technology advances? I would have to imagine that the time that you're with the patients and the way that you individually know about that patient, that personal conversational flow has got to be enhanced with the technology.
Well, if technology can be used to kind of streamline the availability of information, then that leaves you with more time to spend, directly facing the patient, which, I think can be very helpful to really understand the history and what the patient's problems are and how best you can help them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you see the impact within the different levels that you all interact with? You interact on a level with the hospitals, you interact with surgical centers, you interact with primary care physicians. Is it enhancing those relationships for you individually, the technology, or does it just add more layers to the mix?
I think Viren's right. It can do both. There are certain situations where technology can be a headache and areas where we have room for improvement in the way we document our encounters with patients. But I think Viren's absolutely right. What we want to do is spend time with our patients and focus on delivering their care. And so to the extent that we can get access to images and records more quickly, it really does facilitate that. So
yeah.
I think that's the real positive.
Well, it is super. Dr. Woodall and Dr. Vasudeva together are part of the marvelous team we have here at Georgia Neurological Surgery and Comprehensive Spine. And I encourage our listeners, go to team-georgia.com, team-georgia.com, and learn more. We will be here again next week at 1:00 on the next Saturday with some great show and great content. Talk to you all then.